The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, there are lots of concerts and festivals on in Ireland this year. Enormous number of acts come and play in the country. You get announcements practically every week. This week we'll have Electric Picnic giving us the lineup for later this year, but apparently there's going to be details of another new festival given at the same time. But yet, why do people pay the prices that are charged for tickets, particularly when they seem to be so much more expensive than you get in other countries? Claire Daly, Independence for Change TD, brought this up recently inside in Dáil Éireann during the time when I think it's Noel Rock and Stephen Donnelly were putting forward their legislation to target ticket touting. But you said that's useless and soundbite legislation because the main issue, as far as you're concerned, is the face price of the tickets in the first place. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, I think that's exactly it. I mean, I think there was a certain irony in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael coming together with this priority piece of legislation that was going to be fast-tracked to give the impression that they were going to deal with the exorbitant prices, take on the touts. But the point we were making is that the real story in Ireland, I suppose, is the fact that we pay more. And even if you go up on the websites today, you'll see, for example, the likes of the cheapest ticket for Bon Jovi in Ireland is €86, yet in Stockholm, the same gig, €56. Cher, €86 in Ireland. Glasgow, €58. And that's replicated throughout. So any legislation that was before the House wouldn't address that at all. So if you're confining the sales price to the sales price, and that sales price in Ireland is massively more than anywhere else in Europe, then you're avoiding the elephant in the room as to why are we paying more. Is it the promoters? Is it the venues? Because presumably the artists are getting the same amount of money for the same gig.
Well, it's actually interesting. You had other examples that I was fascinated by. Fatboy Slim was at €51.50, the cheapest price in the Three Arena, but in Utrecht in Netherlands, €28. Yeah. That's practically half the price. And Drake, all the tickets were snapped up. I think they're tickets from €79 up to €276. But in Belgium, you pay €56 up to a maximum of €106.
Well, I think that's a really interesting one as well, because Drake is here the week after next. And when the government says they're dealing with touting, we have an actual, I suppose, what we call official touting now. When Ticketmaster, for example, in the Drake concert, are selling what they call platinum tickets. Now, this ticket gives you nothing extra at all, but they say they're in-demand tickets. But actually what they're doing is they're holding back tickets for popular gigs, which means that in Block C for Drake next week, some people will have paid €276, but others for the exact same seat will have paid €140.
But isn't that an issue of personal choice? If some mug wants to pay that much for a ticket to see Drake, who are you to step in and get them a cheaper deal?
Oh, no, I haven't. But the point I was making was that exactly the government pretending that they were dealing with this issue when they patently weren't was a cheek on their behalf, like, because that's exactly it. Like, it is, I suppose, they say supply and demand, and the sort of, it was an affront to me that the government were saying they were swinging in to deal with this issue when patently they weren't, and when they've no interest in putting price caps on other issues that are a bit more important, like rents, for example, or other issues. So, yeah, they're not addressing it. And any legislation before the House at the moment doesn't address any of that stuff. So it's a con job. It's a government populism, really. And
while I agree with you that the issue of rents and everything is more important, this still is an important issue to many people because it takes up a big chunk of their disposable income if they want to go. Ross Madigan, you're editor of the Golden Plaque website. How much of an issue is this? Because I would imagine many of the promoters will say, what are you giving out about? We're selling out most of these particular events at the prices we're charging.
Well, exactly, Matt. You have a problem like Electric Picnic now is getting announced on Wednesday, and they're announcing the lineup for it on Wednesday, but they've already sold out all of the tickets. So if you're the promoter or the booker for the festival, if you have is there any incentive for you to spend an extra 100,000 on the acts when you know you've already sold out the lineup? There isn't really, you know, so they can keep their costs or their costs lower.
What does that say about Irish people that they will buy tickets for the likes of Electric Picnic without knowing what the act is going to be, that they'll pay €250 or whatever? Does that suggest that for many people, the actual content of the festival isn't important? It's just simply an excuse to go on a piss up.
A little bit. That is definitely a part of it. Like, there is a lot of festivals now around the country. So, and there's a lot of, I have a lot of friends as well that would go to a festival, and a lot of them aren't exactly interested in who's headlining. They go for the festival vibe. And to them, those people, I'd say that there's a lot of festivals now. We're reaching like peak festival. There's probably in the summer, there's a festival every single weekend. You could probably go to festivals like Knockinstocken, which are 50% less expensive, 135 as opposed to
Knockinstocken. Where's that?
That's in Blessington. So that's an Irish music festival, which it's one of my favourite around in the country for sure. But you still get the exact same festival vibe, chilled out, less commercial stuff like Electric Picnic, which at the moment is getting absolutely overtaken with commercial. Every second stand is a three stand or a commercial thing, as opposed to Glastonbury, where they kind of it's done in a much, much better way. And in Glastonbury, as an example, is €300 compared to Electric Picnic's 250, but there's 4 or 5 days of music, which works out at €59 per day of music to Electric Picnic's €84 per day of music, which is a big, big difference.
Okay, we're getting listener comments coming into 0874 100 102. A listener saw Brian Adams in Florida last year. Tickets were $17. $17, right? The ticket prices issue will surely only be resolved when people stop paying the lunatic prices, says Brian. And Michelle says, thank you, Claire, for bringing this to light. It's ridiculous what we have to, that we have to pay so much extra here. It has to be up to the venues. They must be charging the groups more than other countries to perform here. Okay, John O'Neill from tickets.ie. Is that the case? Is it the fact that the venues charge more to the performers?
Hi, Matt. Yeah. Okay, it's not really the way it works. Basically, the promoter will engage the act or the artist to come over and play, and the promoter will then hire the venue in where the performance takes place. So along the way, there would be costs and everybody would be taking their own cut of the ticket price itself. However, what I would say is Ross has mentioned two festivals there. Both festivals are operated by a company called Festival Republic, which is owned by Live Nation Entertainment. Live Nation Entertainment, there's an ongoing competition authority investigation into Live Nation Entertainment's activities within Ireland itself. I suppose the main fear there is what they call the vertical, whereby the promoter owns the venue and also owns the ticket company, because Live Nation Entertainment owns Ticketmaster. And in some cases, Live Nation would manage a number of the artists themselves. So from that point of view, that vertical is quite serious, I think, from the public's point of view, because that gives them almost a monopoly. It makes it very difficult for other promoters to bid against them when they control the venue, they control the ticketing company, and they also control the artist, which ultimately will lead to inflated ticket prices.
But is it the same in other countries if the ticket prices are half what they are here in Ireland?
Yeah, well, there are a number of reasons for that. Some of them are kind of, I suppose, would be acceptable to fans, others not acceptable to fans. But I think one thing in Ireland is there is little competition. When you go international, there's a lot more competition abroad. In some cases, touring costs in Europe are much lower than in Ireland, because in Ireland, if a band is of a reasonable size, they're only going to get one or two dates here. So if they're playing arena shows, for example, they're only going to play in Dublin, maybe in Belfast as well, because they need to have 12, 13, 14,000 capacity venues. Whereas it's much easier to travel around Europe. They can travel overnight. They can travel by land. When they're trying to get to Ireland, they either have to fly in or they have shipping costs to ferry their production into the country itself. In some cases, I know in Spain and Portugal, certainly the concerts that you see in summertime, I believe they're actually heavily subsidised by the local authorities, and that's why the ticket prices are less. And I've heard that through insiders within the industry itself.
Okay, so other countries actually provide a subsidy effectively?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Local councils on the basis of the business that's brought into the city or town?
Yes, yeah, that is correct. Because it attracts tourism, it brings people over, kind of creates a party vibe within the town and gives them an opportunity to sell the town touristically, to a wider population.
Okay. We've seen elements of that in Ireland, like we see like Fingal County Council would provide Malahide Castle and other public venues, and that there would be some subsidy there, but obviously in response to it, they'd get a return also for that facility. So I think that would be only part of it. I mean,
tickets from Malahide Castle aren't exactly cheap either, are they?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know, so I mean, I think the point is that that doesn't quite explain the full picture. To me, it has to be the promotion costs here have to be the difference, the middlemen, if you like, in that, and the failure to regulate, and the fact that you have a few big operators dominating the market. I don't know what the answer is, but the fact that there is a very real problem there, and I don't think it's fully added up to by the, John's explanation, you know, shipping costs and so on. It's very easy to get around Europe now for any artist, and yet we see, you know, all the other capitals, the prices are a fraction of what people pay across Ireland.
Yeah, no, put on your headphones there.
The shipping costs and stuff is only part of the problem. Yeah, there is the other side.
Well, actually, put on your headphones. We have another guest. Colm Croffey is with us as well. He's Director of Irish Festivals and Events Association. What do you make of the analysis that you've heard in particular from John as to why it is that tickets may be more expensive for events and gigs here in Ireland?
Good evening, Matt, and good evening, guests. Yeah, I've listened with interest to what John O'Neill has had to say there from Ticket.ie, and I think there's no doubt there are elements of monopolistic practices visible in the way festivals and rock concerts and indoor events are promoted and the ticketing prices are arrived at. The point I'd like to feed into Claire Daly's earlier suggestion that there's no Oireachtas legislation at all in front of the Oireachtas that could do anything about ticket prices. From our perspective, one of the escalating costs in the last 15 years has been regulatory costs associated with staging outdoor events, indoor events, arena attractions. And the principal one is, of course, insurance. And there's a variety of measures in front of Dáil Éireann, I believe, that are responding to the Alliance for Insurance Reform, which, if tackled, would succeed in reducing the amount of premium that concert promoters and festival organisers are being requested on a day-in, day-out basis to pay. And that reflects the level of input costs and production costs that festival promoters and festival producers and concert producers have to pay. The other thing that has crept in the last 10 years since the recession are down to here has been this principle of the cost recovery basis of local authorities. At the Malahide Castle may well happen in a couple of local authorities, but by and large what has happened in the UK, where if local authorities put in additional environmental services, event licensing, event regulatory services, environmental, hygiene, sanitation services, policing even, fire, emergency, they're done on a cost recovery basis to the promoter or to the festival team producing the event. And we've seen evidences in the last 6 to 8 years where local authorities are taking a practical return on the services and the level of services that they are requesting the promoters to pay for in order to access a beachfront or a racetrack or a public park or a castle or an area that might be in OPW controlled lands or that sort of thing. And that does bump up the cost as well. We've had changes in security regulations. We've had changes in volunteering codes. A lot of the individual unit costs of stewards and personnel around the festival scene in Ireland, the training costs and additional overheads to allow somebody to spend 12 hours on a festival site or on a concert site is quite exorbitant, much more so than what the minimum wage or whatever amount that would be paid.
Don't they have all these regulations in other EU countries as well? It's not like Ireland is some sort of outlier where we suddenly have health and safety which doesn't exist all around the rest of Europe.
It does, but it doesn't involve in the same level of payouts by the court system.
That's just one aspect of it, the insurance aspect, and I can understand that. We've debated it many times
indeed
on this programme. But all those other things, all those other things are equally applicable at any venue that you find
lower,
a continental Europe that you find here.
The dilemma is, you know, prior to the recession, the HSE in different authorities in different locations would have provided ambulance cover practically free of charge to an event if it was a pro bono or for a charity event like a 5k or a 20k race or something. Now they're looking for a cost recovery on that, to have two ambulances on standby and one on recover, and you now have to end up paying Order of Malta or paying St John of Ambulance to provide relief cover, which is again adding the cost. That wouldn't happen on the continent. It's happening in the UK, but doesn't happen on the continent. And I suppose the other thing to say out loud as well is that the cost of lodging and hospitality for those large numbers of riggers and technicians who would come, and the guests and the artists who have to turn up to play the venues, that too has increased exponentially in the last 5 or 6 years.
Why? Why? I mean, we've plenty of hotel rooms. Okay, now maybe there's perhaps a lack again in Dublin. I mean, I think people will have an awful lot more sympathy for the punters who actually come from large, who have to go to a venue, pay enormously for a ticket, and then discover that the price of their hotel room is hundreds and hundreds of euro on top of what they're paying to go to the concert.
Well, horribly and tragically for the sector, price gouging of hotel rooms has been a key element of the Irish scene for quite some time. And
Hang on. You can't complain that the hotels are price gouging while at the same time defending the price of the tickets.
Well, I'm only explaining some of the elements that have gone into the high price ticket from a production point of view. And I'm also just making the point that indeed your listeners are aware of, that price gouging is taking place in the hospitality sector when these events occur. And the artists and the promoters and the producers of the events are not immune from that price gouging either. So it's not as if the booking.com or the TripAdvisor price that you've been advised for a room in Dublin is any different, perhaps maybe by 10 or 15% than what the promoter would get.
Claire Daly.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, Colin made the point that this is the charges occur in the UK as they do here, but the prices in the UK are still invariably less than they are here. Hotel prices can be exorbitant in other key European cities and so on. Those factors exist in other European destinations, yet the price of tickets, not just actually in Europe and America as well, are considerably cheaper for entertainment and sporting purposes than they are anywhere in Ireland, and that has systemically been an issue for a long period of time. So we can take out the little bits and pieces and they sound okay, but actually when you add them up, it doesn't explain the discrepancy as to why Irish people pay substantially more.
We're getting loads of comments in on this. Debbie in Limerick, heading to Take That in Manchester. The concert tickets and hotel are both a lot cheaper than in Dublin. We're making a weekend of it. And you've done this, Ross, loads of times, haven't you? You've gone overseas festivals which have worked out cheaper than going to ones in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. I was even talking about this just before we came in. Peter, who works for Today FM as a videographer, is a big death metal fan. So he went over to see Rammstein, but he'd already seen them in Ireland for €90. And he went over to Poland to see them for €50. And his flights and accommodation for two nights worked around €130. And he probably would have made some of the money back on his the beer over there being a bit cheaper as well. But it was only an extra little bit to go on a 2-3 day holiday for him. So yeah, there's massive savings to be made if you can kind of do your research and get the right one, because some of the gigs can be quite a little bit of a difference, but then some of them can be a massive difference, nearly up to 50%.
Okay, listener says, and there's a lot of people getting in touch in relation to booking fees that are added on to tickets. This is a major bugbear because you have your advertised price and then you actually have to pay extra to book that ticket. Booked Fatboy Slim tickets for two people, got changed €8 booking fee per ticket. Okay, you're not responsible for that, John O'Neill, tickets.ie, but can you explain the booking fee phenomenon to me?
Yeah, I can try to.
Okay, good.
Basically,
and because you're not Ticketmaster, you're tickets.ie, which is a competitor to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, basically, first of all, I'd just like to say that in tickets.ie, we believe in full price transparency. So we would prefer the customer to see up front exactly what they're going to pay for their ticket. Particularly because as you go through a purchase process, particularly when it's a high demand event, you have like FOMO happening with the customer. So they have a really fear of missing out, and you can lob any fee on top of them and they'll pay it because they want to get their hands on these tickets. In terms of the ticket fees, there's really two sets of fees in every ticket that gets sold. One is a booking fee, and that's included in the ticket price. Ordinarily, that might be about 10 or 12% of the ticket price, the advertised ticket price. And then when you go to purchase, particularly online, what you'll find is there's a 12.5% service charge. Now, I know there's caps and stuff on that. So in Ireland, you're probably looking at about 20 to 25% fees on tickets. But if you look at it in the States, you could easily have 35%, 40% fees on tickets. And that's one of the reasons why people are opposing this kind of vertical with Live Nation, because ultimately what they can do is they can put pressure on the artist fees but make all the money back then on charging ticket fees. So in a nutshell, really, that's the way it works.
Yeah. What do you make of that, Claire?
Well, I think this is a key area, and actually in the context of the legislation before the Oireachtas, this is a key area where I suppose a loophole could be driven through, because the government say they're dealing with prohibiting above face value ticket sales. But they have done nothing to deal with this transaction fee, as it were. So there would be nothing to stop, for example, a new resale website being set up saying, oh, yes, I'm charging you the face value for the ticket. But you know what? Now there's a 500% transaction fee on that, and make the extra based on that. So I think it is a key area, and there's no legislation at all to curb that. We've seen already substantial transaction fees on ticket sales, and that doesn't seem to be regulation. I think there is regulation, but it's not policed, and there probably needs to be more, and any new legislation would have to have a prohibition in relation to that.
Listener says, we stayed in Dublin Saturday night after the Chris Stapleton concert at the Three Arena. Hotel was 249 for the room and no breakfast included. Rip off. This is what's putting a lot of people off going to concerts. It's the cost of accommodation unless you can get backwards and forwards to the event on the night. We have lots of ones coming in along those lines, that type of issue of people. Another one, I go to gigs almost once a week. However, I only been to the Point three times last year. Maybe people stopped listening to started listening to bands at grassroots level instead of waiting to see the number one pop star all the time. And another one that says, paid €104 each for Ariana Grande tickets in Block C at the Three Arena. I had to buy two as my 15-year-old had to be accompanied. Now, I suppose that is an issue for many, many parents, Ross. They feel they can't leave an under 16 go unaccompanied, so they end up going as well.
Yeah, I think it's a little thing that we can get stuck in Dublin, that we're in this Dublin bubble that people don't realise that, yes, you have to come up to Dublin. And it's the thing that Claire touched on, these new way of charging for premium tickets, the silver package, the gold package. If they can throw a jumper in, they can hike up the price of it and stuff. So it's dangerous that that's the way that it's going, you know.
Okay.
You have to. You've no choice. Like, it's not that if you wanted to leave your kid unaccompanied, you can't get an under 16-year-old admitted.
I suppose the choice is, don't let them go, or don't go yourself. I mean, this is what a lot of people are also saying, is that you're complaining about the price
Nobody
of tickets.
Nobody who's had a 15 or a 16-year-old would say that, sadly. Unfortunately, you know.
Yeah. Well, that is an issue, isn't it? I suppose, isn't it, John? Lots of parents are bringing children as well, that this has become a big thing. But the cost, listener says, would love to see him pink, couldn't do it, nearly €600 for four tickets.
Yeah, and that's just the start of it. Like, if you're travelling outside of Dublin and you need to go and get a hotel room, if with six tickets, you're probably going to have to book at least two hotel rooms, maybe three hotel rooms, depending on the regulations within the hotel. But the hotel certainly won't allow six people sleep in the same hotel room, which doubles the cost automatically then in terms of the hotel room as well.
Okay, but are there times when perhaps the promoters are pricing themselves out of the market? Lots of people are bringing up the infamous Taylor Swift concerts last year in Croke Park, where many people, particularly for the second night, ended up getting free tickets because they simply couldn't flog the tickets. And rather than having an empty stadium, they gave lots of them away. Was that a classic example that perhaps we had at that stage reached peak pricing in relation to many events?
Yeah, I think when you couple the demand with the price itself, there was definitely oversupply in that particular case. Now, within industry circles, I was actually attended the International Live Music Conference just last week. And within music and promotion circles, the Taylor Swift gig was actually played a little bit differently. What it was said that basically they held back tickets to try and flood the market later with tickets to try and collapse the secondary market or the market for touts. Whether or not that's the case, I'm not too sure. But I think if they want to employ tactics like that, they should probably look at what Ed Sheeran is doing with his in conjunction with Victim of Viagogo, and how they are helping genuine fans who have been ripped off by secondary sites gain a refund and also gain admission to the event itself.
Ross, another issue that big people are bringing up is the quality of the support acts. For example, if you saw the Rolling Stones last year in England, you would have seen Florence and the Machine on one night.
Yeah,
no offence to the Academic who played with the Rolling Stones here in Croke Park, but they're not Florence and the Machine type standard.
Yeah, that was the same issue, around the same time as the Taylor Swift gig. Yeah, you could go to two nights in the London Stadium, and you could get Liam Gallagher or
Florence and the Machine.
And obviously Stones. With the Academic, they were announced quite late. So they and the Rolling Stones gig was nowhere near sold out either. So they knew even late on that they could have put a big Irish act in to get more tickets, but they chose not to. For whatever reason that is, we don't know.
Getting some great messages in to 0874 100 102, and also via Twitter. The price is exorbitant, says Connor, but at least these musicians are coming to Ireland. I remember when the best gig you could go to in any 12-month period was seeing the Saw Doctors at the Lark by the Lee. Another one, I went to see Codaline last year in Malahide for €50 in Nolan Park. Bob Dylan and Neil Young tickets are now €170, not going even though it's beside my house. Maybe if it's beside your house, you'll be able to hear it without having to go in as well. Buying tickets for events when they first come online and search best price, you never get the lowest price tickets. Months later, you find cheaper seats. Why is that, says Cahill. Another one, I have two tickets for Rod Stewart, €230, including book and fee. But try booking a room in Cork for that night, the 25th of May, at least €300 for the night. Total rip off Ireland. And many, many more coming in along those lines. People who want to see Cher, but the lowest price ticket on Ticketmaster is, I actually can't see the actual figure on that. And then you have another one, Steely Dan, a Three Arena at the end of February, €106 with fees. All the venues in the UK were £50 plus fees, says Martin in Galway. Actually, back to you, Colm Croffey from the Irish Festivals and Events Association. A lot of listeners want to know, what's a facilities fee when it's at home anyway, when you pay that for a ticket? What's a facilities fee?
Typically, it would cover cost of venue or location. And whatever activities will be provided on the site that might have been to be brought in, you know, to build. So there could be a situation where a greenfield site has a minimum amount of sanitation or water cabling, power, that sort of stuff, even trackway. And if that has to be brought in and updated or upgraded for the additional numbers that the venue or the location is taking, you'll be charged a facilities fee for that.
On top of the price of your
Absolutely.
Ticket to see. It's not just part of the price that you pay for the ticket that you assume that it's going to be, you're going to have toilet facilities
not
provided
always.
To you. Depends you have to pay location. Extra to use the toilet.
Well, we're not quite at the Michael O'Leary and the €2 in the slot for the visit to the back of the cabin yet.
There's an idea,
Two comments that I'd like to make. I think Claire Daly is correct. I think it's Noel Rock that sponsored the piece of legislation. It is showboating because it isn't going to get to the nub of the matter. I think we're at a situation where the artists are looking for performance and live crowds in a way that they haven't been in the last 10 or 15 years because there's little coming in from royalties and live performance is where all the action is at. And if we continue to allow the sector to morph in the clumsy way that it's morphing, we're going to do untold damage. So in a similar situation, you had a huge build-up of problems in the late 80s and early 90s over copyright and payment of royalties over playing of music, and IMRO was set up. I think something similar to that will have to be done by government in the not-too-distant future.
Claire Daly, if we're looking for solutions, you know, I don't know whether you can bring in some sort of legislation to force down ticket prices, but if you did that, doesn't that then mean with the law of supply and demand that you're actually playing into the hands of the touts, that the touts will make bigger profits and the actual acts, as distinct from the promoters, won't get the money that the market is willing to pay to see them perform?
Well, I think there was an irony in the legislation that was before us because we're precisely putting it forward as a vehicle to control the touts. But this was coming from, I suppose, rampant free marketeers who stand over the market in all instances. And we actually made the point back, what's the difference between people being ripped off in hotels, ripped off in concerts? It's all part of, I suppose, supply and demand or capitalism or call it what you like. But look,
how would it work in the socialist utopia, Claire?
Well, I haven't seen that either. I didn't say that. But no, look, I think there is, this area needs to be looked at seriously by the Oireachtas. And I suppose our main point when it was before us, the houses, is that the legislation that we have isn't that. It's a SOP that's not going to address any of the issues. I mean, Colm said the artists are demanding more money, but are they? Because the same artists are performing in other parts of the globe and people aren't being ripped off in the same way. And it seems to be clear from some of the other comments that he made that the other services, which people would see have to go with a gig, access to a toilet or an ambulance or a safe venue, should be part of the price. The idea that that's been factored in and people are paying above the odds for that as well seems to be ridiculous. So we need proper legislation that controls, I suppose, that. You know, I'm in favour of capping prices. I'm in favour of them for other areas. That's the difference, I suppose, between me and some of the people doing. I'm in favour of rent caps. Why not? And we should have them on these things.
But maybe because rent caps is something that's essential to people somewhere to live, whereas
going
to a concert is not necessarily an essential item. It's a choice.
But wasn't that irony that we had at the back of the Brexit regulations when only essential legislation was going to be addressed by the Dáil? They cleared the decks and this piece of nonsense legislation was being for us when other very important issues couldn't be addressed, such as our housing issues. So there is a falsehood there. But we need to go and look at it piece by piece rather than these stunts.
Jerry and Claire says if people paid for their music, then tickets would be cheaper. That's going back to the point that we had from Colm. You can't have it all. Roz Madigan, have you solutions for us?
No, I don't. It sounds like everyone is a bit baffled. There's so many fees. There's so many. Where is the money going for? It's a mess.
Okay, a listener saying it's all down to Live Nation because they have such a dominant position in the Irish market, Ross.
Yeah, and we were just talking about that they also have all of the bigger venues in Ireland, so all of the venues above 1,000 seats are controlled by Ticketmaster. So there was a company called Dice FM who tried to bring in an app that basically non-ticket, their whole mantra is no touts, and they tried to come into the market, but they couldn't get into any of the bigger, larger venues, could only deal with the very small pub venues like Whelan's, Workman's, that kind of thing. There's massive blockages to them getting into the market too.
Okay, and the ticketing issue. Listener bought 4 tickets from Mamma Mia and the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. €45 each, the tickets, but the total cost once all the charges were added on was €207. Now, these charges, John O'Neill, go back to you. Your tickets.ie, you're the smaller competitor to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I didn't like the way you looked at me there for a second.
But the charges, there are processing charges, presumably for credit cards.
Yes.
But how much do they amount to from the credit card providers?
It would typically depend on the actual credit card itself. Some cards cost more than others, but you're looking in the region of 2 to 3% for the card charges.
But yet, the costs are €658 in some cases you're getting charged per ticket, not per transaction, say if you had 4 tickets. You're getting charged per ticket.
Yes.
That's way more than 2 or 3%.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, there would also be VAT in there, which would be 13.5% on top of the
fees. Oh, and that's gone up from the 9% as well,
yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would have an impact on the fees as well. And bear in mind that 2 or 3% is actually on the gross value. So that could take up maybe 40 to 50% of the booking fee itself, the card charges.
But would it
itself.
Be fair to say that, given the amount of gigs that are being played here this year, that the market actually, there's plenty of cash out there, plenty of people willing to buy tickets for all sorts of things. I mean, how many nights have we got Westlife in Croke Park this year? The Spice Girls. Okay, there's Heritage Acts to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You've got Foo Fighters and the RDS, various others. I mean, you're falling down with things going on. So clearly there's loads of cash out there that people are willing to spend, even at exorbitant prices.
Well, I think Irish people love music. Like, it's part of our history and our being, I suppose. But that doesn't justify us being exploited for it. And I think you will see a lot more people voting with their feet. It's becoming very popular now for young people to go to the big festivals in Europe, Benicassim, other areas. A lot of students are just uprooting and moving across. And as Ross said earlier, they can get the whole package and a holiday probably for a cheaper price than they'd get to go to a weekend festival here in Ireland. So maybe that's a direction that people will move in. It's certainly, our love of music is not a justification for us being exploited.
All right, I'm going to leave it there. Claire Daly, TD, Colm Crawfey from the Irish Festivals and Events Association, John O'Neill from tickets.ie and Ross Madigan, editor of Golden Plaque website. Thank you all for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.